Welcome to Monday Mornings Out from the Cube. This is George Evian. Again, I appreciate your time and your consideration. I know somebody said the other day, I guess, have my first Gary V reference of the morning. Gary V says, we are trading on attention. Attention is the most important thing we can do as marketers and business men or women to try to either sell something or to, you know, send a message, whatever it might be, right? And it's time. And so I really appreciate the time that people are spending listening to the podcast, giving me feedback, and subscribing and sharing what we do here with the podcast, because it's really about your time. It's about attention and things of that nature. So I really appreciate your time. Getting a little bit of a late start on Monday, but wanted to make sure to get something out today, as it's going to be a very busy week for me. And I don't have any great direction right now that this podcast is going to go. But I want to give my mind this morning, early this morning, as I was getting up and reading and listening to some other podcasts. There's a great podcast out that Ed Mylett released this morning, and I took two or three pages of notes on it, and it really has me thinking about self-doubt on a deeper level, just in terms of how much we beat ourselves up. Not some big spiritual or huge introspective thing where I'm going to be doing yoga right afterwards or anything along those lines. But it's just this mindset of how much time we do spend just questioning ourselves, thinking about the opinions of others. And Ed Mylett's really thoughts centered around that were built around confidence and building your self-confidence, and how to build your self-confidence and the power of belief and then guarding those beliefs. But here's what he said that I really liked, and it's not necessarily the direction I'm going to go with the podcast for the next hour or so, but it is going to be something I wanted to hit on early in this podcast. This is a quote from Ed Mylett. You were born perfect, right? If you just took that thought, that you were born perfect and you spent a fair amount of time being perfect. If you even looked at, and the thing that I am going to hammer on for this episode is really going to be centered around how we think about our children. That has been a theme for the past year or so about this podcast, is how we think about our children, how we talk to children, or I guess how we should talk to children, and essentially how we talk to ourselves, talk to each other as we kind of become adults. But if you just took that phrase, we were born perfect, and this is not, now Ed Mylett kind of went down some spiritual routes with that, I am not, but I do believe that we were born perfect. I believe that right now, as a father of an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old, for the most part right now, if I haven't jacked them up too much, my children are perfect, right? They haven't done anything too much at this point in life to not believe they can do anything they want, crush anything they want, become whomever they want, impact whomever they want, and have this great, magnificent, powerful life. I don't believe I've messed them up that much yet. You were born perfect. Then, along the way, somebody said you weren't good enough. You weren't powerful enough. You weren't strong enough. You weren't smart enough. You weren't good-looking enough. You weren't, you know, resourceful enough. You weren't articulate enough, educated enough. Didn't have the right friends, right? Somewhere along the line, somebody tells us we suck, right? And I threw in, if you go to my Instagram page for Out from the Cube, I threw at the end of this, you've got to have the mindset of screw them. The reason we're not crushing things in life is really because somewhere along the lines, my 8 and 10-year-old are going to be told by somebody that they're not good enough, strong enough, powerful enough, resourceful enough, friendly enough, kind enough, better looking enough, whatever it might be, right? And then that is going to become their belief. That is what they're going to believe. Now, to get deeper into what Ed Mylett's saying, we didn't think that 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes into the podcast, I'd already have this rant. But then if you sit there and think about those things, then you look for the, and you start to believe those things. Those things are said to you. Maybe they're said to you continually. Then you start looking for things in your life to reinforce that belief. Does that make sense? Like, if you really think about it, if you're not good enough, smart enough, intelligent enough, good looking enough, whatever it might be, then you start looking for those things in your life. Maybe I'm not smart enough. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not powerful enough. Maybe I'm not intelligent. Maybe I don't have the right friends or the right resources. I guess that's true. I guess I'll quit. I guess I won't take that risk. I guess I won't try to have that responsibility, apply for that job, have those type of friends, go to those type of dinner parties, run in those circles, or have Warren Buffett as a friend, because I'm not good enough. And maybe it's just better that I just stay where I'm at, right? So that's the mindset. You were born perfect, and then along the way, somebody said you weren't good enough. And as adults, as a 45-year-old still trying to figure out how he can have an impact, I believe those things. And then the things that happen in my life that reinforce those beliefs, I believe even more, and it pushes me down further, which we all should think is BS, because we would never want that to happen to our kids. Like I mentioned, I have an 8 and a 10-year-old that I look at my kids right now, and they know. If I were to look at them and say, "You are my," and I paused at the end of my kids would look at me both in unison, because I have said it so much. They would sit there and say, we are your soul, right? That's just how I feel about my kids. They're my soul, right? And so those kids somewhere along the lines are going to be told that they're not good enough, smart enough, resourceful enough, didn't come from the right side of the tracks, whatever it is, right? Didn't get the right education, whatever. Somebody's going to tell them something. And hopefully that I've done a good enough job as a parent to sit there and say, people are going to doubt you. People are going to criticize you. People are going to be negative. And you need to have so much self-confidence. And it's the power of your belief that I am good enough, strong enough, powerful enough, good-looking enough, have the right friends, can run in any circle, can hold any conversation, can sell anything, can have those responsibilities, can have that office, drive that car, whatever it might be. Right? Have that spouse. I can have that, and then I'm going to guard those beliefs. Here's what he says. I really liked it. You should go listen to this Ed Mylett thing. I really liked it. But what he says here is self-confidence is building a reputation with yourself. It is building a reputation with yourself by doing things over and over and over and over again that they are that is what you make contracts with yourself, and you uphold those contracts, is what he says. You know what? I'm going to get up every day at 4:30, 3 or 4 days a week, and I'm going to go to CrossFit. I'm going to go meet my buddy Joe Quinn, and he's going to push me to get better, and he's a good friend, and I'm going to do that 3 or 4 days a week, and then next year I'm going to try to do it 4 or 5 days a year. And I'm going to make a contract with myself, and I'm going to make sure people hold me accountable to that. And the more I do it, the more I hold that contract to myself, the more confident I become. I mean, I think this stuff hit me, and hopefully me talking it out hits you, because that's kind of what this podcast is all about. And then in big stars and underlined and highlighted in my notes, it says, I do what I am going to do and what I say I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. And now I build confidence. And now once and this is me, I kind of believe this and kind of like it actually. My confidence is going to replace my fear. My fear is going to be overcome with my confidence, because I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do, and I'm going to uphold those contracts to myself. I'm going to build confidence and replace my fear with confidence and power and strength, and I'm going to get after it. So his thing is this. What are 10 promises that I can make and I can keep to myself? What are 10 promises that I can make? What are 10 contracts that I can make to myself that I can uphold? What are they? And then that's how you build confidence in it. It's now February 4th, and all of a sudden the New Year's resolutions are off, and people have told me they stay away from the people that are committed to the gym, stay away from the gym from January 1st to January 21st, because that's how long it takes before January 22nd rolls around and everybody stops going to the gym. Now we can get back to normal. Now we can get back to the people that uphold and their contracts, their personal contracts. Those are the people. Those are the people that are confident. Those are the people that have no fear. Those are the people that are successful. Those are the people that crush it on a daily basis, and they're guarding their beliefs about themselves. Right? I just think that's powerful to me. And again, the podcast is selfish in regard that I say things that I wish I was just better at. Although I've been going to CrossFit for now for 2 months. So, but last week when it was negative 14 in St. Louis and that alarm went off at 4:15 and I had to be out the door at 4:30 or 4:45 to get to CrossFit and it's negative 14 degrees out. And by the way, it's 62 degrees today, less than a week later. And I sat there and looked at that temperature and looked at my phone and said, I ain't that committed, right? So there's the phrase about being committed or interested. I'm committed to CrossFit, but I'm not as committed as my buddy John Gleick that was on a few weeks ago, right? He doesn't care what the temperature is, right? But I've got to build so much confidence in myself. So all the negative beliefs that people are saying about me, about my career, about how I, with my kids, the type of dad, the type of coach, the type of employee, the type of, you know, friend, the type of, you know, spouse that I would be, whatever it would be, right? I got to replace those with confidence and with fear, and replace the fear. You have to believe you're going to win. Big highlighted letters. Okay. You have to believe that you're going to win. And listen, I'm going to beat up on some things that we've talked about before. And this is me. Maybe I need to hear this today. Maybe this podcast is for me to get me and my Monday going so I can crush it this week. But the only way to get over fear, to get out of your cubicle, to get moving, to be more engaged, to have more responsibility, to have more impact, and to do the things that we want to do in life, the only way to replace that fear is to build confidence. The only way to build confidence in anything, in my opinion, is to get repetitions. And it is the phrase that we've used before is repetition is the mother of skill. Skill. I need to develop more skills. I need more reps. The more reps I get, the more confidence I get. The more confidence I get, the more fear is replaced. The more fear is replaced, the more confident I am, the more I am able to get out of my comfort zone. The more I'm able to execute. And that is a big word for us, is to execute, right? You need to go listen to Jason Wells. If you're on Instagram, do two things for me. If you're on Instagram, please subscribe to my Instagram, Out From The Cube. You can subscribe to my personal Instagram, but you're just going to get a whole bunch of basketball drills that my kids are doing. But if you want Out From The Cube, just subscribe because a lot of what I read and write down ends up there. But also, go subscribe to Jason Wells, probably JW Purpose, P-U-R-P-O-S-E, JW Purpose. And subscribe. Now he's getting out of his comfort zone. Every day, Jason is recording videos of himself walking the streets of St. Louis early in the morning before anybody's up. And even if it's negative 14 degrees, I'll ask him that. I doubt that's true, but it's early. And he's getting out of his comfort zone and writing and making videos about purpose, about your why, about culture and leadership and teams and enhancement and jumping, as he says, right? And he doesn't care what anybody thinks. He is getting his reps. He is getting out of his comfort zone. He's replacing fear with confidence, right? So those are some things that he's doing. So that was just stuff that I, and here's the other thing. You have to believe you're going to win, whatever that win is, right? Whatever the win is for you, getting out of your cubicle. I had two encounters in the past 72 hours where I was having conversations with people and the phrase, they did not know really what they were saying to me, but it makes me smile. And they're sitting there talking about how people are just locked down in their cubicles. And they're talking about this without any idea of me and the podcast, our podcast, right? Without any idea of that. And I'm sitting there and actually it happened with some people that do know about the podcast. And we kind of looked at each other, right? About being more engaged and more collaborative and executing more and having dreams, goals, ambitions, and outcomes that we all want to have at our age, any age, right? And getting out of our cube. And then I recorded a podcast over the weekend and as we talk, and he's sitting there going, it's very much what your podcast is about, building confidence and getting out of your comfort zone. But as Gary Vee says this morning, he gives away all his content and all his motivation and all his speeches and all his motivations and inspiration. He does it for free because he knows 99% of us, are never going to do what he says. So there's always going to be a market for him because he knows we're not going to do it. But the 1% will. And what he says with those 1%, they're the winners. They're the ones that are going to crush it. They're the ones that we're going to win anyways. So he doesn't care. Like, they're going to win anyway. Hey, I'll give you all my stuff, all my motivations, inspirations, content, marketing, business, entrepreneurship, whatever it is, right? I'm going to give it all to you for free. I'm going to give you everything. Everything that I know, believe, have documented, my experiences, my wisdoms, all that sort of stuff, my wisdom, all that, and I don't care. 99% of you are going to turn this stuff off. The 1%, shit, you were going to win anyway. You were going to win anyway. Maybe I'm just enhancing it a little bit. I really thought that was good. You were good, but you've got to believe that you're going to win. And how do you believe you're going to win? You've got to feel like you deserve it. This podcast started in April. And that first month of April, we had 10 people listen to it. Then fifth, we're going to just keep grinding it and trying to figure out how we can make it better and get really engaging and impactful guests on. We're going to throw a wide net out. I'm going to try to get the best guests I can so I can be educated and I can be uplifted and I can be inspired and I can get out of my cubicle and so can you. And that is my goal, ambition, desire, and all that. And I'm willing to do it for the long haul. I'm willing to do it at 4 a.m. I'm willing to do it at 10 o'clock at night and do whatever it takes off hours to continue to get this going because I want to deserve it. I want to deserve that when it happens, that when we have these, the Ed Milet on the show, if that were the goal, right? Or if we were to have Gary Vee on, or if we were to have some great, football coach or basketball coach or whatever it is, right? It's that whole idea. If you're coaching basketball, and I know people listening to this coach basketball, and you're sitting there thinking that you're playing in a league championship or national championship, I'm telling you right now, the teams I coached were small college level. And we played for three small college national championships. We won two of them. And we were good. And I remember sitting there in the locker room, and I'm sure we didn't say it exactly like this, but I'm almost certain I thought about it this way. We may not have articulated it this way, but I remember sitting there thinking, we deserve this. Now, the other team deserves it more. Maybe you try to paint a picture to your team, and you sit there and say, we deserve it more. But you sit there and say, we deserve this. You sit there with your team and say, we deserve to be here, playing for this championship, getting this client, being the most impactful software consulting company in St. Louis. It's not going to happen now, February 4th. This is not going to be a podcast that the second I publish an episode, that instead of it going from 0 to 100 in a matter of 6 hours, that it goes from 0 to 10,000. It's not going to happen today. When this is done today and I press off or stop recording, it's not all of a sudden going to be a podcast that does that. I've got to deserve it. I've got to grind it. I've got to put in the time. I'm not Tim Ferriss. I am not, Carl Franklin that's been on the show. I'm not these people that can immediately drop it and have 100,000 people download it, right? You have to deserve it. And right now we don't. You could sit there and say, we don't deserve this and with our clients yet. We don't deserve to be the most impactful software consulting company in St. Louis yet. But you know what? We're grinding every day. We know where we will be. And we know that if it's December 12th, 2019, and now we're sitting in a boardroom with some of the most powerful companies in St. Louis, and our software consulting company is sitting there, we're going to sit there and say, we deserve it. You know why we deserve it? Because we started working on this last year, 2 years ago, 6 years ago. right? I had a guest on earlier that talked, was in the Army, was in the service. He talked about his core values. He rattled 6 core values off like that. Like he rattled them off like in less than 4 seconds. He rattled off all 6 core values of the Army, or at least the part of the Army he was in. I don't know if it's different. And he was like, every decision we make is based on these values. So set your values up much like what we have with our company, and you, every decision is based off that, and every interaction is based off of that, and how we treat everybody is based off of that. You know, employees, clients, and people we're prospecting with, and people we'd like to work with us. And those are the decisions that we make because we're going to deserve it. How you have to believe you are going to win, and you have to deserve it. So that again, when I press record, I'm not 100% sure where everything is going to go. But we started that direction because my notebook is open and it's filled with notes. You know, the reality is this, and this is what I'm guarded against, and this is what I have taken away this morning and what is on my mind. And I'm going to put it in a family perspective, and then I'm going to twist it a little bit. I am going to guard my children, although it's going to happen. This is what I need to equip my children with. I can't sit there and tell my kids that this is going to be all Pollyanna stuff and Sound of Music stuff, singing on the top of a hill and twirling around, and that's how life is going to be, right? I can't paint that picture for my kids because that's not reality. Reality is they're going to be torn down. They're going to be told they're not good enough. They're going to fall down. They're going to, you know, break their arm, you know, metaphorically, right? It's going to be tough out there. And people are going to tell you you're not good enough. And you can either be the 80% or the 90% that are going to roll and not try to accomplish great things. Or you can learn that those people that say that, it's noise, it's not the belief, it's not true. I can work to equip my kids with skills necessary to train their mind, to have a mindset, to have a belief, to guard their beliefs, so they can crush it. Now, yes. So let me pivot off of that for a second. That is true for my kids, but what is it true for us? The people that are sitting here in St. Louis or across the Midwest, and now people that are listening to this, and the podcast has really been something the past couple weeks, and I appreciate it. For everybody listening, what does that have to do with us? I'm trying to equip my kids to have a belief that they can do anything they want in life, and to guard those beliefs and not let the negativity, the negative talk that is given to them, was given to them. And that's an Ed Milet direct quote. The negative talk was given to me. Right? When I was an infant, when I was a baby, when I was growing up, when I was 6, when I was 10, somebody started telling me the things I could and couldn't do, and I believed them. And so then I was just put into a box that this is as good as you're going to be. This is where you're from. This is what you do. And you're not going to be able to crush it. And I'm trying to equip my kids differently. So now, as a leader in your business, how much time do we spend trying to equip our people, our group, our team, right, that they can do it, that they can crush great things, they can crush this? Listen, and sorry to always be painting this vision, I don't know how else to do it, with our company. So when I say our company, I'm talking about Polaris. But if we're sitting around saying, you know what, we're a small consulting company, we're in Chicago and Denver and St. Louis, and this is who we are, and you know, we've got like 10 people here, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, this is who we are, and we should probably stay in our lane. We should just stay here. Or do we empower each other and uplift each other? And do we have these values that we stand on? And do we deserve it? And do we move forward? Do we sit there and say, we are going to be this, and people are going to tell us we can't be? Businesses are going to tell us we can't be. CEOs are going to tell us we can't be. CEOs, CFOs, CTOs, CIOs, these C-suite people aren't even going to return our calls. And then if we end up having a conversation where we want to do X, Y, and Z, they're going to say we're not good enough. We don't have enough people. We don't have enough X, Y, and Z, right? Are you that company? Or do you sit there and talk to your team about this stuff? If I were still coaching basketball, I would want those people, the kids I'm leading, the college kids, even the kids I'm working with now, and this is where I kind of wanted to get to. The kids I'm working with now, I want them to feel like they're the best. I want them to feel like that if they put in the effort and the skills, that they deserve it. They deserve to win. They deserve to compete. They deserve to be talked about as being the best. Would you tell a 10-year-old kid right now they're not good enough? Right? And we had a rough weekend basketball-wise, which is what I wanted to get into, because I think there's leadership principles to it that I want you to consider. So I am going to get into that on my weekend of basketball. But if you're not going to say that to a 10-year-old, then why would you say it to your 30, 35, 45, 55-year-old guy or lady when you're still trying to crush it? Like, I'm not interested in having the – now I'm going off on another rant. But I'm not interested in working with kids athletically in basketball where we teach them to be average, that we work with them and coach with them to say – we're average. Let's give an average effort. Let's do things let's not do things perfectly. Let's not learn how to do life skills well. Let's not learn how to do X, Y, and Z. Like, I'm not interested in that. When I work with kids and young athletes, we teach them how to be great. We coach them to be great. We want them to recognize what hard work looks like, what greatness looks like, what commitment looks like, what teamwork and sacrifice and suffering and losing, what all that looks like. I want them to know that. I don't want them to be average. I don't want them to be part of the 80%. I want them to roll through the gym, the doors of the gym, and to stand there and say, whatever is happening in this gym today, I'm going to come out on the other side better and greater than I was, and I'm going to have a great model for and be pushed and coached in such a way that I am striving towards greatness. That's what I believe. It may not be right with 10-year-olds and all that. It may not be right. But I would want my kids to be around people that don't want them to be average. Now, what's that have to do with out from the cube and business and all that? Why do we do that with our own teams? Why can't we sit there and say, you know what, this is who we are as Polaris, but you know what? We're going to be great. And this is what we're going to do. And this is our outcome, and this is the goals, and here's our strategies, and here's how we're going to pull it all together, and this is how we're going to collaborate and goal set and hold each other accountable, and these are the type of conversations we're going to have. And when we roll through those doors, when we go to a client, we are going to know that we deserve it. Why would we not all be like that with our companies? Why would we not all be like that with the teams? If I were like truly running a team, a business, a company, and I had a team and it was like 10 people professionally and they're all, you know, from 20 to 60, I would sit there and say, we're going to be great. And I may not know right now what that looks like or how we're going to do it, but we are going to be great. And we're going to wake up every day and we're going to come in here and we're going to be accountable to one another. We're going to have a true appreciation and love for one another and our products and our vision and our clients and whatever else we're going to do. But shit, we're going to be great. I'm not interested in being an average company that's just going to survive for a little bit. And what I appreciate about what we do is that permeates what we do, right? And we have these goals and we talk about these, like our company, why wouldn't you have those goals? Why wouldn't you articulate those goals? Why wouldn't you talk about those goals? And why wouldn't you reach for those goals? Why would you sit there and say, let's just be an average basketball team. Why don't you just be an average student, an average player with, you know, and not really be respectful and things along those lines? You would say, no, we're going to do all this stuff to 11, I think is what they say in Spinal Tap. Like, let's just go to 11. Then let's also go to 11 as a company. Let's take our Marshall stack and plug in our guitars and put everything to 11 and figure this shit out how we can be better. Right? And how we can get out of our cubicle and not have these negative beliefs happen. Okay. So that's a 30-minute rant. How you like that? So now we're going to go, this was on my mind and it is very sport related and it is a weekend related thing, but you have to have your eyes open for teachable moments for you. you've got to want to get better. I want to get better every day. And listen, here's the story. I coach a basketball team of 10-year-olds, and we're pretty good. We don't lose that often. And we lost this weekend. And it's not, it wasn't on ESPN. It wasn't in the paper. Nobody's talking about it. I didn't see it on Twitter. I haven't received any phone calls or all that. So it doesn't matter. And sometimes it's good for young athletes or ball teams and all that to lose so they can learn, right? That's what we say. It's in my notes here for my professional development. You don't really lose. You only lose if you don't learn. If you lose a client, don't have a client, you better have some sort of retrospective where you sit back and really think about why you lost. Why you lost that client, why you lost that engagement, why you didn't get this client, why a client left you, why you didn't get somebody to hire on that you wanted, why you lost somebody that was a rock star for you, and why you lost them. Like, you need to be in this never-ending loop of retrospective on yourself, your leadership, your team, your clients, everything, and figure out how to get that in and have it be really transparent and vulnerable so you can figure that stuff out. So we lost. Okay. And I really, you got to figure this stuff out. This is on me. Like, I'm sitting around saying, I got to figure this stuff out. You've got to figure out every single day how you can get better, what you're missing, how you can get good feedback, right? I had a friend and I texted him about the game last night. And I actually think he listens to the podcast. And he was like, well, yeah, we were too predictable. We lost for a variety of reasons, but he was like, we were too predictable. Okay. And I appreciated it because that was really on me. So I have a friend that I really admire and look up to and is a friend of mine. And he just said, he kind of been a pseudo assistant coach for me. And he's like, hey, we were just too predictable. So right now we've got a retrospective. If you're not sitting back as a leader of in your company with your teams and all that, and all you're sitting around is thinking about what they did wrong. Here's the point, and this gave me goosebumps, as there's at least one goosebumps call every episode, because this is impactful to me. If you're not sitting around when things go wrong or don't get the outcome you desire, or you quote unquote lose, and you're not sitting back, you are always sitting back saying they didn't work hard enough. They didn't return phone call. They didn't do X, Y, and Z. And you're saying they didn't do X, blah, 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 and all that. I'm just saying, I think you have problems. But I think the great coach, the great leader, the great motivator, the great CEO or CFO or CTO, whatever it might be, when things don't go right, when you don't get a sale and somebody else, whatever it is, right? And is sitting back saying, man, how did I contribute to that? How did I contribute to that loss? How can I get better? Right? Maybe I was too predictable. Maybe I didn't take a step back and say, this isn't working. We've got to figure something else out, and we've got to figure it out fast before the game is over. That's sales. That's running a product. That's running a software team. That is running whatever it is, selling cars. Like, hey, this shit ain't working. Right? And it's okay, but we've got to change these dials around or we're going to lose. There's another strategy that's working and it's okay. But I spent a fair amount of time yesterday thinking about fourth grade basketball. One, how can everybody have a better experience? How can I enhance their experience? How can I make sure everybody's having more fun? How I can relax a little bit more? How we can come up with better strategies? So we can get better so they can have a better experience. Yes, it's 10-year-old basketball, but that's life stuff. That's me running a software team. How can I run this software team? How can I run this car sales team? How can I run this company, this product, these clients? How can I run it so we can have better strategies? Are our strategies working? Are they perfect? Can they be moved around a little bit? Are there people better in other spots? Is it role definition good? Does everybody know what's expected of them? Could people be in other positions? What should we follow up on? How can we communicate better? How can we enhance this? How can we have more fun? What can I do to bring the team together closer? I'm wondering how often in the professional business world do you sit there and think about those things? Do you think on a weekly basis you sit there on a Monday morning driving in with a cup of coffee in San Francisco, like I have a buddy that's sitting out there, and you're sitting there, what can I do this week to bring this team closer together? Shit, we just got our ass kicked last Friday. Last Thursday, Friday, we got our tails beat. We didn't get that client. The boss is pissed off, right? There's a great, great, great story in the culture code that just popped into my head. Daniel Coyle's book that last April, we spent two or three of our first episodes talking about. And he's talking about the San Antonio Spurs, the NBA team, who has one of the best coaches of all time, Greg Popovich, and why people like playing for him so much. Because when they get their tails beat, he brings everybody up. He brings everybody up. When you play poorly, he will bring you up. He will have his arm around your shoulder. Now, he may correct you. He will coach you. He may admonish you. But you roll away from those engagements and experiences and meetings really like this. This will sound goofy. But you walk away from those experiences going, that sucker loves me. Popovich is over 60. And he's dealing with 20 to 30-year-old men. And he builds trust and attention and compassion and appreciation and love. So those guys know that they've got each other's back. So if it's Monday and last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you got your tails beat and you didn't get a sale, you didn't get a client left you and your boss rolls in. Let me ask this. How does your boss, leader, CEO, director, how do they roll in? How do they roll in? If you are that person and you're driving in Monday and you're burning because you know it's trickling down onto you, maybe sometimes it's good to be that proxy. Man, somebody, hey, I'm catching the heat and I'm pissed and my team's going to get it and they're going to get it and they're going to get it. And you go in and let them have it instead of saying, I'll take the bullets. I'll take it. What does my team need? They need to know we didn't get it, but they also need to know that I'm here with them and I'm deflecting things and that I appreciate them, right? All that stuff is weird to me because I'm sitting around at a 10-year-old basketball game and these are the things I'm thinking of 2 hours later. And it is about those kids, but it's also about, man, I've got to get better. I've got to be more introspective. I got to really analyze what I'm saying, my body language, how I'm conveying the message, what they need to receive, how they need to receive it, how I can make them better, what this experience should be like, what the improvement will look like. What does this not only look like now on February 3rd of 2019, what's this look like February 3rd of 2022, 24, 26? What do those kids look like then? Like, what does your salesman who's 22 years old look like at 32? What does your IT team look like now that's building a product that is then going to be building a product in 2022 or 2020, a year from now? How does that team look? How do they function? How do they communicate, collaborate, and how do they share the successes and celebrations? What's that look like? Because if it doesn't look good now, then let's figure out how, like, it did, like, we didn't play well yesterday. It's easy for me to say that a bunch of 10-year-olds didn't play hard and got out-muscled. It's much harder for me to say, man, I didn't do a good job. You know what? We practice tomorrow night. You know the first thing I'm going to say to those kids when we bring them together? That was probably the worst coaching job I've done for you guys over the past 2 years I've been with you. And I'm not sure if it was really fun for you guys. I'm not sure I made it fun. I'm definitely feel I can do a better job. But I think I could have done a better job. This is what I need from you. you know, I need you to, you know, make sure that the strategies we have for selling cars or building products or running an IT team, that we understand our values, that we understand that, you know, I let some of this stuff slip and we've got to get back to communicating. We've got to get back to really having really effective stand-ups or retrospectives or client engagement or follow-up calls or handwritten letters. Like, we've got to get back to some of these core things that we're really good at, right? Those were the things that were on my mind over one silly game of basketball for 10-year-olds, because I think it's relevant and important for what we do here on our podcast. You have to understand, this is what I believe. The things that I see, the things that I think about, the things I recognize with children, we don't do as adults. Because you know what is impactful to me is we as parents have a certain things that we look for in teams, or how our kids participate in teams, or how we want our kids to be around adults and the respect and the life skills and all this sort of stuff. But then we don't do it as professionals with ourselves. And I know I've hammered on this stuff before, but it's interesting to me that we don't do that. So it was a good weekend, and I learned a lot, and I'm 45. And you have to understand, this is me being very kind of vulnerable with this stuff and introspective about it, but I hope you take something away. And I know people are really listening to these podcasts because I see the numbers, and I really appreciate it. But my hope would be is that we spend more time in humility, and we spend more time in introspective. We spend more time in action and executing on changes to make ourselves better. I would also then say that we do all those things for our teams. Each person listening to this is on a team. Then you're either winning or losing. You are either winning or losing as a team. And my hope would be is that every single time that you are that you are always in some sort of retrospective with yourself or with your team or with your community on how this stuff can get better. That is it. I also wanted to talk about just some real quick things. More from Ed Milet than this morning stuff. One thing, this is your flawed thoughts. And we'll end with this, and I've already gone 45 minutes, and I hope the other stuff makes sense. My hope would be this, and I've said this stuff before. What I'd encourage everybody to do is this. I'd turn the stinking radio off on the way to work. You're driving to work, I'd just turn it off, and then I would just spend time thinking about your team. I would spend time thinking about your team. I would visually in your mind think about every team member, and I would sit there and say, what do they need? He or she, what do they need? And how can I help them? How can I be of service? How can I be servant to my team? And as I look at my notes today, true happiness comes from service. And that was an Evan Carmichael quote early this morning, and he just said it kind of passing and all that, but your life changes when you're in service. Your team changes when you're in service. Your mindset, your happiness, your you know, everything, your being, your soul, everything changes when you have the mindset of being a servant to your team and listening to them and understanding that you're going to win games, you're going to lose games. And games, I mean, as a metaphor for your business. And you've got to have that mindset of the CEO. I had this in my notes from 2 weeks ago. If you are an executive, then your mindset needs to be, I have 9 extra children, 30, 40, 500, 5,000, 10,000. Gary Vee talks about, I've got 10,000 children that I've got to care for and I've got to think about. I've got to think about what they need. Now, it can't be so overwhelming, and you can't sit there and say, I can't take on that burden, right? But there's a way to manage that to where you have that in your soul and in your DNA, that you have that mindset of, hey, these are my people. And I need to know what's going on, and I need to connect, and I need to, however that works with that many people. I tell you what, I would love to have that problem. I would love to be CEO of a company or be running a team that has that many people, because I'd sit around and figure that out. right? When the, I forget the guy's name. It'll come to me as I tell the story. There's a book by John Gordon out, and that's not the name I was hunting for, but there's a book, I want to say it's Mike Smith. There's a book by John Gordon and Mike Smith. Mike Smith, I think that's his name. He was the head football coach for the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons, prior to him being hired, had been one of the worst football franchises around. Not as bad as Cleveland, right? But they were bad, or Detroit, but they were bad for a long time. No culture, no culture. He wrote a book called, You Win in the Locker Room First. So I'd encourage anybody, sports related, business related, if you're into John Gordon and leadership and business and how to run a team and put a team together, the book, You Win in the Locker Room First, is a great book. But one of the things he talks about in there, and he breaks the book down into 7 chapters, I believe. Every chapter is a C, like A, B, C. C, culture, commitment, competitiveness, compassion, whatever it is, right? And I'm not sure if compassion was one. But what he talks about at the start of the book was maybe developing this culture and changing the culture. Clearly what had been going on at Atlanta had not worked, had not been working. And so he went in to change the culture. And what he did for the first 6 weeks, I'm not going to get the exact date range right or anything like that, but the whole idea is he went around and individually met with everybody, to the people that were, spray painting the field with logos, right? To the people that were washing seats, to the ticket takers, to people in marketing, to people in the sales. He met with everybody. He wanted everybody to know that, hey, you're taking tickets and you're selling merchandise and you're making hot dogs and you're doing this, that we are all in this for one reason. We are going to build this sucker up and we're going to get our tails to a Super Bowl and we're going to do it the right way, and your job is important and what you do is valuable. And I am the one that is dictating culture and tempo and togetherness and outcomes and goals. And I am going to lead the charge because that's what I was hired to do. And you are important. And he spent all this time with these people, right? And he may not have had 10,000 of those conversations, but it was important for him to. I wonder who would do that. I wonder who would say, you know what? That lady that's selling merchandise upstairs in the pro shop or whatever it is, and she's selling Atlanta Falcons football hats, I need to go up there and make sure she knows what she's doing is important to our success. Like, I'm not just going to sit and bunker and hunker down in some bunker with my offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and get on the whiteboard and drop a bunch of plays. I'm going to build a winning culture here. I'm going to build a culture of togetherness and shared suffering and making sure everybody knows that we're on this boat together, that we are a fleet of these boats all tied together. I mean, I think stuff like that's powerful. So I'd go get that book if I were you. I would go to Amazon and get You Win in the Locker Room First. I've done a talk before if you're in IT and you run some sort of agile practice, that you win in the stand up first. Like, there you got, you win in the locker room. Where's your locker room? For you, if you're a CEO, if you're running teams, where is your locker room? You know, you've seen this in sports. If you follow sports in any regard, have you ever heard this phrase? I'm not going to get to the final thoughts here, but have you ever heard this phrase? He lost the locker room. He being the coach. He's lost the locker room. Have you heard this phrase? He's bad in the locker room. Like, if you sign that guy, he's going to destroy your locker room. Right? Right now, listen, and I don't know these people, so I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I'm just telling you stories I kind of hear. Like, I love you all that listen know I love basketball. Carmelo Anthony is one of the best players to ever play basketball, meaning he's maybe a top 50 player. He still has game left in him, big time game. He's not going to go out and score 38. He may do it once every 30 games. But why can't that sucker get a job in the NBA? And I don't know him, so I'm just kind of blanket statement using his name. Is he a bad teammate? right? I love the Boston Celtics, and I love the Boston Celtics, and I love the Milwaukee Bucks. Why aren't they signing him? What if he's bad in the locker room? What if he's bad in the locker room? What if he's a cancer in the locker room? Why can't a guy roll in with that skill set and sit there and say, man, I'm here to serve? Hey, Milwaukee, Boston, Oklahoma City, Houston, whatever it is. Hey, I'm coming in to help you guys, all of you. You 12, you 13, like I'm coming in. And if I'm the 12th, 13th man, I'm going to be the best cheerleader I can be. And I don't care if I get 1 minute a game, 0 minutes a game, or 48 minutes a game. I don't care. I'm here to help this company, this culture, this locker room win an NBA championship. And that's my goal, objective, and outcome. And everything in my DNA is to help you all do that. Think he'd have a job? The analogy is this then. Where's your locker room as an executive, as a director, as a coach, as a scrum master? Whatever it is, whatever you're running, where's your locker room? And you win in the locker room first. So don't get the wrong people in the locker room. Enhance your locker room. But that is where, like I loved, we run and work with software teams. And we have something in software and agile and the things that we practice and believe in. It's called a stand-up, where we sit there from 9 a.m. to 9:15, and they're quick, these stand-ups, but it's like 5, 6, 7 people, whatever it is. And we sit there and talk about what we're doing that day, what our hang-ups are, how people can help, what they're doing. But that's my locker room. And I've always said this, my stand-ups, the companies we work with, the people we consult with, the teams that we try to help, those stand-ups, that's where we build our team. That's where we set the table for the day. Hey, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I'm stuck on this. I can't figure this out. So-and-so is not helping me in the business, blah, blah, blah. How can I help you? What do you need? How can I help? What'd you do this weekend? Like, what are you passionate about? What can I help you with? Blah, blah, blah. And then that small little meeting, that locker room meeting is where we go the rest of the day. That sets the table for how we work. You win in the locker room first, or you win in the stand-up first, or you win in your first meeting of the day. I have some different thoughts on how I think we should start our day as businesses and teams, and that's maybe for a different podcast. But I'll tell you what, man, you need to figure out your source. You need to figure out what inspires your people. You need to you know what would bother me? What really bothers me is I kind of thought about this over the weekend, not about the basketball game or anything, but I was thinking about some different things this weekend on how we can be different. And I'm not suggesting this will work. I'm just suggesting that I would love to have the discussion with someone. We've got to figure out how to inspire people at like 8:30, 9 a.m. for the day, for the week. I wake up very early, and my deal is to get plugged in and get inspired and get moving and get action and create momentum as early as possible. I spend the first hour to an hour and a half of my day getting plugged into things that inspire me. Because the rest of my day, you read any successful book, listen to any successful people, and this is what they do. To use a phrase, I don't know who said it, but they win the morning. You kick ass in the morning, the rest of your day is going to be awesome. Why wouldn't you do that with your teams? Why would you not sit there with your teams and say, we're going to create momentum on Monday for the whole week, and we're going to get inspired and motivated and uplifted and encouraged and accountable to one another, and have those type of meetings. And have everybody roll out of there instead of rolling in, because this is what I've seen. Rolling in at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and everybody's nose down on their computers in cubicles, sitting there, no conversation, no nothing, no momentum, no nothing of encouragement, engagement, or anything to get your teams feeling inspired for the week or the day. I would run those teams where everybody's rolling out. I'm not suggesting that you need a huge cheerleader, a great motivational talk, but you want those people rolling out early in the morning saying, I'm inspired. I know our why. I know our why. I know why I'm important today. I know why this is important. I know why I'm on this team. I know, and you've got to figure that's like you would just never roll out as a coach, blow the whistle for a year straight and just start rolling and never talk to them. and never inspire them and never get them motivated and just run through drills and drills and drills and drills and correcting and correcting and correcting and correcting and never ignite. Like, no, you know how most coaches start practice? They might be around warming up. They blow the whistle and everybody comes to the center circle and they get inspired. Hey, gentlemen, ladies, it's going to be a great workout, man. You guys worked your ass off last week and we had a great game this weekend and we won by 25. Now it's Monday afternoon and we got some great challenges this week that are about to happen. We got some great clients that we're encountering and engaged with, and it's going to be amazing. And I'm so excited about what this week's going to be like because I know we play Saturday and we're playing the crosstown rival and they beat us last year and we're more prepared and we deserve to win this year. And I'm super excited about seeing how much better you guys are going to be this week. This is what I need from you this week. I need you to be really focused and attentive to all the details we're going to be throwing at you. I need you to be really good off the floor. I need you to just take care of each other, make sure we're not in bad places at the wrong times with the wrong people. I need you to be accountable to one another outside of here and inside of here. Let's just do this week. Let's make sure that this week that we all figure out a way internally to give a little bit more to each other, to practice, to the details, to the game plan, to the strategies. Let's just have an amazing week because come Saturday night when we play our crosstown rivals, we're going to kick their ass because we're prepared, because we had a great week of work, and we're going to celebrate. So picture yourself Friday, Saturday night, 8 p.m., celebrating that win. Why wouldn't you have that conversation professionally? Now, I'm not saying you need this great locker room rah-rah moment. I'm just saying, man, if I had that, I'd roll. And we do have that. We rolled out of that. I'd be like, man, this is the best place to work ever. I'm inspired. I'm motivated. I understand what's going on this week. I understand that maybe a commitment we all just made to one another. I understand that we're accountable to one another. I understand that I'm going to pay attention to details, work a little bit harder, work a little bit more focused. I'm going to count on if I have impediments or things that I'm not knocking out and there's, you know, people I'm leaning on that aren't getting things done that I can go ask questions. I'm going to get this stuff done. So listen, I know that's an hour or so, man, I can go for an hour with no idea what I'm going to talk about. So listen, I hope you have a great week. It's Monday. I hope this inspired you in some way. I hope it made you think about, you know, about being more introspective and having retrospectives with yourself and not thinking you have all the answers and soliciting feedback. And when you get the feedback, being really aware and fine-tuned and figuring out how you can be better to the people around you. I hope I've painted a good picture of that. I hope you have a great week. I can't thank you enough for how this podcast is going. I sit there and say, man, I don't need to do this anymore. Or I have these beliefs, the power of beliefs and guarding your beliefs and not thinking it's good enough because somebody says something or X, Y, and Z. But then I sit there and see that people are really listening and that right when these things get published, that people are picking it up and listening and I see everything and I'm like, man, that's powerful. Man, that's the feedback. That juices me up. And again, my mindset has to be, it doesn't matter if it's one person, one download, one person giving me message on Instagram or one person giving me a message on Twitter or LinkedIn. It doesn't matter. It's that one person. So I hope you're finding value in it. I hope you're that one person. If there's anything we can do as, you know, conversations or Polaris or anything like that, then just, you know how to reach out to me on LinkedIn. Look in the show notes, get into LinkedIn. I'm always on LinkedIn. I'm always in a position to help. I am always, and I was told at one point in marriage counseling years ago, never to use the word always, never, and all that sort of stuff, but I am always available to have a conversation, and people are taking me up on it, and I don't have all the answers, and I'm just trying to figure out how I can have an impact, how I can educate myself better, and how I can, through that education, provide more impact, knowledge, experience, different strategies that people have taught me. So listen, I hope you have a great week. Super passionate about the people that we have on as guests. Look for a Wednesday drop with Jason. Look for a guest on Friday. And I'm super excited about the week, and I hope you are as well. Just continue to crush it. Take care.